Indeed, a privileged people, aren't we? So privileged because we have a Savior. Privileged because only Christ is what really matters, isn't it? This past week, there's a lot of things that have happened, as we know, around the world and concerning one in our neighbor country next door. Things in the Middle East are beginning to develop as well. And as we look at the world situation, there's one thing we can look forward to. Heaven. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning as we open God's Word. Before I do that, I'd just like to bring you up to date a little bit. Some of you know that I'm working with MSC Canada in regards to the Container Acts Ministry. Already we have sent 2 40-foot containers to Zambia. We're working on a third, which will be actually loaded this coming Wednesday. He is an assembly missionary with Flying Mission Zambia out of Lusaka. And there, we have flown with them when we did go to Zambia on a couple of occasions. And they're serving the Lord by serving the people that are working in his kingdom in that particular country. They were never in Canada. They actually served in the U.S. in Michigan for a while, living in Ireland, and now they're in Zambia. And so there's no facilities in the U.S. whereby they can get their equipment and stuff to Zambia. So they brought it across the border, and we are loading it this Wednesday. So pray for us as we do this work as unto the Lord, and that as the stuff goes over, that it will be used for his honor and glory, everything that is sent. I just want to bring up the verse that was read this morning out of Psalm 136, and that was the last verse. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we have come this morning, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, not through an individual. And so, Father, I yield myself to your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me. And, Father, that you would open our hearts to the truth of your word. And, Lord, that we would block out anything else. Father, we just thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray it through his name. Amen. I was actually, how many of you know Tony Jones, missionary from Haiti? Anybody know of him? Might have heard of him. Well, he was in our home this past week, and he's been home for a number of months already, but his wife is still in Haiti, and I didn't plan on saying this, but she's been there for, they've been separated for 8 months now because she can't get out of the country. He has now been working with the consulate, and on the 8th of December is the last opportunity she will have to get out of Haiti to join him in Canada. Pray for him as this comes about. There's no Canadian flights going into Haiti, just American flights, so she has to be able to, has to get an American visa to land and then come into Canada. They have 2 children, but because of the father's nationality, he was Canadian, and they are here in Canada with him. So it's a bit of an estranged situation, but pray for Tony Jones. We were at a missionary breakfast. This was a couple of years ago, and he was actually speaking there. I'll never forget what he said, and I might reminded him of this this past week. He was sitting at Edmondson Heights Chapel in the very back, and he couldn't wait. He had promised 2 of the fellows, I think it was Guy Markham and Andy Stevenson, that he would go to church with them one Sunday just to get them off his back. And so as Andy Bowes was speaking, he was nudging. See, he was pointing to the clock and saying, just getting through this, you know. Until Andy said something. He said, whoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. that morning, he got down on his knees and surrendered to the Lord. He was a wild man before that. Now he's serving the Lord in the mission field in Haiti. What do you look forward to? Sure, we look forward to things in this life, don't we? Looking forward to those things that our family, maybe even food once in a while. But really, when we stop and really think about it, if you're truly born again, we look forward to heaven. I'm going to ask you, who inhabits heaven? We already read one. God, say it, God. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? What about the Holy Spirit? What about the angels? And then those who have fallen asleep in Christ, and you and I will join them. I'm going to, first of all, talk about things that will not be in heaven. You can probably even think of some. But if we look to Matthew chapter 22, we will see that there, and the Lord talks about this, about the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And so they ask him something in Matthew chapter 22, beginning at verse 24, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise a seed unto his brother. And now that there were seven brothers, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother, and likewise the second, the third, until the seventh, and the last, all the women died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said unto them, and this is interesting, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriages, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Then he goes on to talk about the resurrection. Who is our prime focus when we get to glory? Oh, we'll recognize one another likely. But it will be the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? And it's going to be a wondrous reunion. We're not on earth. We are created beings, and God initiated in the Garden of Eden a relationship between Adam and Eve, husband and wife. But there won't be any need of marriage in heaven, because what is the church today? It's the bride of Christ. Oh, there's going to be marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb, don't get me wrong, but for us who are going there, there's no need for marriage. Secondly, greater yet, there will be no death. You know these things, don't you? I know you do. But we're going to remind ourselves of it this morning simply because of the place that God has prepared for us. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. The God of heaven. No death. And Jesus, and this is in Luke chapter 20, verse 34, and Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, and they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he called the Lord God of Abraham and of God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the, say it folks, do you know it? The dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. Are you living for Christ? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll be changed. And we're going to be with him. We are going to live unto him, as the scriptures say. All live unto him. Does that go for the unbelievers today? God uses them. He allows different presidents, he allows different royalty, he allows different leaders in different countries, but there is nothing that happens without his sovereign purposes. Just look at Joseph in the land of Egypt. Would you have thought that he would become Pharaoh's right-hand man in that country? God's plan. Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, he was the ultimate power as far as this world was concerned. He spoke and you lost your head. He spoke and you lived. Daniel was given a great purpose in that land. They were ruthless people. Daniel's three friends, Nebuchadnezzar asked them, "Will your God save you?" "Our God can save us, but if he chooses not to, we are still not going to bow down." Maybe that needs to be our attitude in the world today. Folks, I think we're not far from persecution. And I hate to say it, and it just makes you look all that more closely at where we're headed. We are not citizens of this earth. We are in the world, but not of it. No death. Oh, with all the corruption and that around us, there won't be any of that in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 42. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption." And we already were told that this morning. "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual." You're natural, right? You're a created being. What's coming? The incorruption, the spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. What was it in your life that transformed you? You probably all have the answer. Obviously, it was the cross, the blood of the Lamb who died on that cross, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as a butterfly is transformed from larva, the caterpillar, to butterfly, so we are transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How is our mind renewed? By the scriptures. By the scriptures. Another thing that won't be in heaven is weariness. How many of you get weary today? Obviously, it happens quicker as we get older. We weary. But there will not be any of that in heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not from that we would be unclothed, but clothed again. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given to us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, We are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we labor that whether absent or present, we may be accepted of him. And then he says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad, knowing therefore, what? The terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Just because we are not weary doesn't mean that we don't have responsibilities before the Lord, even in this life. We are to be the salt of the earth, persuading men. Although we persuade men, as Paul used those terms, we know that it is the Holy Spirit that ministers. It is not we ourselves. It's amazing that COVID brings opportunity that sometimes you're not even aware of. And I remember sharing a few of those instances on the last time I was here. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Psalm 136, what phrase was repeated over and over and over again? For his mercy endureth forever. We read it this morning. God's mercy and God's grace. We're not destined for God's wrath, are we? We are destined for his mercy, for his grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God placed him in the ark and closed the door, and then his wrath fell upon the earth. Lot was delivered out of Sodom and Gomorrah with his wife and his two daughters. His wife looked back and she was judged. But after he departed, he wasn't a perfect man because he wanted to go to Zoar instead of where the angels told him to go. And Zoar was a sinful city as well, but God spared Zoar and he rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. We know there's not going to be any pain. We know that there is not going to be any curse or night. In Revelation 22, verse 3 says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and the servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Are you looking forward to heaven? We know that there will be no unbelievers or wickedness in heaven. And again, in Revelation 22, and I'm going to read this, beginning at verse 13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And we're talking the New Jerusalem. For without or on the outside are dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And Jesus, I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. And he said, the Lord says, I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What about the woman at the well? The living water. And she took a drink. Christ is that living water. Still is and will be. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the city, the holy city. And from the things which are written in this book, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The very end of the scriptures. Do you look around you? Maybe you have family. I do. Those who we know at one time, when they were young, trusted the Savior. And as they've gotten older, they have walked away from Him, married unbelievers. Their families are not living for the Lord. On a few occasions, we've seen them come back and repent. I had a question presented to me the other day from our neighbor. And he said, I was surprised at our conversation because of his lifestyle. He's divorced, but he's also has a friend who is encouraging him in the Lord. I remember 1 year ago when we first moved there, he told me, I think he knew where we were about because we've been in the area several years prior to us moving into that area. And he said, I have a MacArthur Bible, study Bible. It didn't mean much to me, but just a week and a half ago, he brought up the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ and is coming again. I was rather encouraged. But this is what he said. He said, I know my son, and his son passed away in a car accident a number of years ago. I know the spot where it happened. A cow walked out on a dark morning in the winter when he was going to work, and he hit this cow and he died. He's got two daughters, and he said, I know that my daughters, when they were young teens, trusted Christ. He said, I believe that they're going to be in heaven. What do you say to that? First of all, by their fruit ye shall know them. But I said to him, and I think it was the Holy Spirit that just sort of reminded me gently, I said to him, saved so as by fire. And I said, God knows who are his. But I said, going through life, not living for the Lord, you forfeit all the works, because we'll be judged according to our works, the scripture says. Can you tell me, I'm not God. He knows who are his. And rather than discourage him from, we just give him God's truth. Where would you put a person like David? Yeah, David was a man after God's own heart, but he wasn't perfect either, was he? God knows who are his. God knows who are his. Oh, the other glorious thing about heaven is there will be no end. And of course, we read that already in Psalm 136. For his mercy endureth forever, and he is the God of the heaven. Matthew 25, verse 45 and 6 says, "Then shall he answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it to me, not to me. And there shall go away into everlasting punishment, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And we know that is going to happen at the great white throne judgment. When the Lord, and he speaks about that, about doing it unto him. Whether you're in prison, visited me, hungry, thirsty, these things. Doing it to the least of these, you do it unto the Lord. And he says then, the Lord says this, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Beloved, I believe there are many in churches today that are going to hell comfortably, having the form of godliness but denying the power thereof. The question is not, do you think you know Christ? But it is, does Christ know you? Think of the ten virgins. Five were ready and five were foolish. And the story is that five entered in, the five wise entered in, and the five foolish came to the door, and they knocked on the door. And the Lord of the house says, "I never knew you. I never knew you." What a sad reflection that is. Revelation 22, verse 5 says, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light, nor the sun." We read it already. "For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Are we ready to reign with him? There are eternal blessings to heaven. You can probably list them. But I'm going to give you a list. First of all, there's joy. Joy is not happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances. Our joy, of course, is in the Lord. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy. Luke 15. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 and in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors and says unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and diligently seek it until she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors, saying together, Rejoice with me, for I have found the place, peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God." When we see Christ, you and I are really going to know what joy is all about. Of course, there's rest. "And I heard a voice from heaven," this is Revelation 14, verse 13, "saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." We know these things. We need to remind ourselves. Of course, there is peace in heaven because the Prince of Peace dwelleth there. And we will be with him forever. There is righteousness. Righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 11. I'm going to read that. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holiness, in holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, or according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, that they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the scriptures, unto their own destruction, twisting the scriptures to their own destruction. What is important in the Word of God? It is all important. Some things more than others. We can learn from it all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Continues verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Warning after warning after warning of how to live in this world and prepare for heaven that's to come. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. That's righteousness. Service, we know that we will serve our God. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we will serve him gladly. Gladly. We need to be glad now, don't we? We know there's rewards for heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in, not on this earth, heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. How is heaven gained? We can become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It's an inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, and we heard about that, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory in the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though ye now see him not, you believe, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Heaven is an inheritance, and we only have right to it through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, there's glory. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's grace. I'm looking forward to heaven. You know, I'm beginning to write on my letters now, awaiting his return. Are you awaiting his return? Are you hastening that coming day? I know, we're living in a world and there's a lot of corruption. I don't know if you've heard the latest news in regards to the ballots and things, but it's troublesome. I think Satan's enjoying what he's doing in this world today. We cannot stop God's purposes. No matter what man does, no matter what we do, we can pray. And don't get me wrong, prayer availeth much. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We can speak to others and let the Holy Spirit continue with the work. But is my focus and are my thoughts in heaven? There's a song written a number of years ago by William Oliver Cooper. And he wrote this song in the very last year of the Second World War. And considering the trials that he just went through, listen to the words of this song. Often I'm hindered on my way, burdens so heavy, I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, heaven will surely be worth it all. Many the trials, toils, and tears, many a heartache, many here a pall. But the dear Lord so freely says, heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling and pain I will endure, till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure, heaven will surely be worth it all. Let's pray. Father, as we have just glimpsed through the scriptures briefly of what's in store for us, may our hearts rejoice. May they be blessed. May they be comforted. May they be edified in the Lord Jesus Christ as he promises that he is preparing a place for us. Father, as we look around, things are dark and bleak maybe, and we don't know what the future holds, but we certainly know who holds the future. And so, Father, as we serve you here through the Lord Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in us, may we continue to be salt and light, salt that hinders decay, light that shows the way. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on each and every one here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.